Well, welcome once again, and I truly mean that from the bottom of my heart. I welcome you to our Sunday school portion of the ministry here at Grace Baptist Church. Today, we want to take a look at Christ is foremost. After Christ's crucifixion, death, burial, then resurrection, and ascension into the heavenlies, where he is presently with God the Father and is enthroned King of kings and Lord of lords, Christ said of himself the following, as recorded in Revelation chapter 1. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Alpha, the beginning letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega, the ending letter of the Greek alphabet. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first, and the last. Going on in the Revelation chapter 1, Christ says again, I am the first and the last. I am the one living and eternally so, friends, and was dead, and behold, I am living evermore. In Revelation chapter 2, John the Apostle records this again as Christ spoke. These things, says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I hope we're taking note of our word first. First. In chapter 3, the Revelation further records the resurrected Christ. These things, says the Amen. Christ is the Amen. Christ is the so be it. When he says it, it will be. Surely and finally. These things, says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. As John's gospel clearly notes, as it begins, without him, without Christ, nothing was made that was made. John 1, 3. And as the book of the Revelation comes to an end, Christ repeats, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first, and the last. Now the word first in all of the texts that I've read, the word first in the Greek is a superlative form of a word meaning in front of, as in superior to. The superlative in grammar denotes an extreme, unsurpassed level. So, when we see this word first in reference to Jesus Christ, the word first here denotes the extreme and unsurpassed superiority of Jesus Christ. He is foremostly superior and unsurpassingly so. He is first. Colossians 1:18, Christ is the head of the body, the church. Christ, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Preeminence means to be first in rank and influence. This is the Christ now in his present and mediatorial reign. He rules. As Christians, we as members of Christ's body, the church, must be careful to ward off the influence of this present world, this present evil age, our own flesh, and the devil. And folks, that is only possible as God, by his Holy Spirit, leads us. Christ, as the faithful and true witness, is absolutely clear. I want you to listen to this now, please. Clear in his severe warnings to the professed church at Ephesus. Please listen up. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands." Those lampstands are the seven churches. Christ is there, as he is everywhere, and says, "I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not." Sounds a bit like today, doesn't it? "And have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand. I'll shut you down as a congregation from its place unless you repent." Folks, we need to perk up and listen. You have left your first love. First love. The word "first" here is the same Greek word we've been talking about since I began and in all of the texts that I've cited to you. We must be very careful to realize that that word and that this love is not only a reference in time, it is, but it is speaking of foremost in order and place of importance. Christ must be our absolute and only first love. Our best love. Christ addressed this in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. "The one loving father or mother above me is not worthy of me. And the one loving son or daughter above me is not worthy of me." Christ, and Christ alone, must be our only, our absolute best love. The Almighty and all-knowing Christ holds what he knows to be true against this people, against these people at the church in Ephesus. You have left your first love. Remember, Christ said, I know your works. He's been in the midst of them by his Spirit. Now listen very closely. You might find what I'm going to say to be true. They left by falling from their first works. And that must have occurred as a result of not stirring up that love in order to perform those good works. Now, I'm going to look at that a little more in a few moments. Stirring up love in order to perform those good works. Now, I hope you're going to follow me now as I present before you a line of truth from the Bible, from the Holy Scriptures. What is the basis of our obedience to God in Christ? Christ says, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14, verse 15. Again, he says, if anyone loves me, that one will keep my word. John 14, 23. I want to go to the book of Mark now, chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Reading verses 28 through 31. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. From that, Christ went on to command his disciples to love one another as I have loved you. This church at Ephesus that we are dealing with had left this attitude of love and were performing works unacceptable to God. Listen up. Please listen up. Reading from Hebrews. They were performing works, weren't they? It was all mentioned. They were all mentioned. But something was missing from that, friends. Hebrews chapter 10, I'm reading it, verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Gee, that's extremely clear, isn't it? And look at the context we find this in. This is amazing. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Friends, when we do assemble together as God's people, our conversations should be directed to matters such as stirring up love and good works, which are stitched together. Folks, you can't do a so-called good work not motivated by love. God does not receive any so-called good work if it is not done in love for Him first and then toward others. Stirring up love for God and one another and others is a strength of our gathering together. This leads to good works. Apparently, that was not happening in the church at Ephesus, leading to where they had fallen. Christ was not being exalted as foremost in order and place of importance. Again, even when they were doing these so-called works, as the text shows, read it again. It appears they were doing some good things, but without Christ as foremost. If that were not true, Christ would not have threatened to remove them as a congregation. If Christ is not foremost, the works are not acceptable. When we assemble together, we must not leave our first love. In my case, I'll give you me as an example. When we have met here and we have our time of lunch together, which is a great time, I've got to be very careful not to be majoring in talking about politics. My brethren know that. Though a mention of such might be fitting in the things of Christ, I said a mention of such, but not majoring in that. Christ must be first and foremost. Brother Gene has been, I've noticed this for years, he has been most faithful in keeping this congregation focused on Christ and not all the other issues we are confronted with on a daily basis. The man in the pulpit must be mindful of that very thing. Brothers and sisters in Christ, were it not for the grace of God in the new birth, we would not be considering Christ as foremost, as first in our lives. In light of that very fact, I want us to view another first absolutely necessary to loving Christ above all else. Revelation 20, I want to look at verses 5 and 6, excuse me. This is speaking of those living and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. And folks, I take that 1,000 years to be the church age. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. It is speaking of the first resurrection. Remember I said, we've got to be led by the Spirit of God if we are going to accomplish God's will. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. Folks, this is important for you and for me and for everybody. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. These priests of God are those born again, those who are truly Christians, and we speak of the church age. That first resurrection is the new birth, a resurrection from the death of sins and transgressions. Being born again unto eternal spiritual life. It is a foremost resurrection in that it assures us that we will never suffer the second death, which is the eternal damnation of the body and soul in the lake of fire. It is a foremost resurrection as well, because it also ensures you of the resurrection of the body made like unto Christ, a glorified body, free from the very presence of sin, united to a sinless spirit, united to a sinless Christ. A Christ who is first and foremost in our hearts and minds. Foremost and unsurpassingly superior. First in rank, in influence, and first in importance. Who or what, may I ask this question? I ask it of me. Who or what is most important to you and me? In addition, listen up now, because there's more. In addition to Christ proclaiming he is Alpha and the first, he is Alpha and the first, he is also Omega and the last, the beginning and the end. How do we view that? Bless the Lord. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Romans 10:4. I want to go over to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, chapter 5. Christ speaking of himself and the law. Christ says, do not think. Don't even think this, folks, that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Remember, Christ is the Amen. He is the so be it. When he says it, that is the way that it is. And in speaking of fulfilling that law, Christ did just that. As the scripture says, Christ knew no sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21. You can't know no sin. You can't be involved in any sin except you have kept the law perfectly. No one's even come close to that, folks, outside of Jesus Christ. Not only did he do no sin, he thought no sin. He spoke no sin. This is the Christ. Pilate, who delivered Christ to be crucified, said this, "I find no fault in him at all." John 18:38. Folks, Christ is the end, the completion of the law. He kept it perfectly and then became the sacrifice that God required for the forgiveness of sins. But this man, Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. It is finished. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for everyone who believes. And he is the last. And I'm going to read something a bit more literally from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, came into existence as a living being. The last Adam as a life giving spirit." Please listen closely. Please listen closely. The first man, Adam, a living being, brought death upon all humanity due to his disobedience to God. Certainly, he had no ability nor power to give life of any kind, temporary or eternal. The last Adam, Jesus Christ, came to fulfill what that first man, Adam, failed to do. Christ was perfectly obedient to God as a human being. Christ, as a human being, came into existence, as a life-giving spirit because of his divinity. Now, folks, I don't understand that. A human being divine. A human being who is God. That goes beyond our human comprehension. And the life he gives is eternal life. I'm closing. As the last Adam, Christ restores the image of God in its perfection to all those human beings predestinated, conformed to his image. Think about that. Christ, the last Adam, restores that image of God into which man was created in its perfection. And those who are predestinated into Christ will be conformed to that very image, the perfect human being. Christ is the first and the last. Christ is foremost. Amen.